pessimistic contemplation in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 2, if it please you. I will begin by looking at verse number 2 in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 2. Five times a word appears here in verse 2. Five times. It is the word vanity. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities. And then, all is vanity. These are words from the sharpest knife that ever was in a drawer. Solomon, under inspiration, writes, all is vanity. So I would begin by asking this question, and it's purposely designed to get you to think. I've been stewing over it for about 5 days. The question is, does anything, operative word, does anything really matter? Does anything really matter? Now, as to anything, if it doesn't matter to God, then why should it matter to us? Okay? If it doesn't matter, whatever that anything is, if it doesn't matter to God, why should it matter to us? But if it does matter to God, why doesn't it matter to me? Let your brain catch up with that. Then I would drop a line or two in my thinking and ask this question. Does God matter? Does God matter? Now, if he doesn't, then does anything matter? Operative word is anything. You've heard me say many times before in connection with funerals, I live and die by this truth, and it is that when you think of the resurrection of the Lord and the truthfulness of that, nothing else matters. However, if he is not raised from the dead, then nothing matters. Okay? I believe that to be true. Now, we're of the persuasion that Jesus rose from the dead, and so we say nothing else matters. Not really. So I'm coming back to this. Does God matter? And if he doesn't, then does anything matter? If God doesn't matter, what then does? God's word doesn't apparently matter. And then the wraparound question is, does that matter to him? Does that matter to him? Now, if not, then it ought not matter to us either. If God's word doesn't matter to him, then it shouldn't matter to us either. However, if his word does matter to him, should it matter to me? Are you still with me in the path? So then, do we live as though God really matters? Now that requires barefaced transparency of soul. Do we live as though God really matters? Now, in our kind of a church, we would be hard-pressed to find anybody that sits in our pews who would say, from a theological perspective, that we don't believe that God is. We wouldn't find anybody that would say that. And I don't think we'd find anybody that really believes that. But do we live as though God really matters? And these are the words from Solomon when he says, again, I would remind you, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, he said, all is vanity. Now, let me clarify that. Solomon wrote these early chapters in the book at a time in his life when God didn't really matter to him. And such, predictably, is rife with pessimism and futility. Life without God, and this is an axiom that bears... This steers a straight line at all times, and it will wind up in the same spot. And it is life without God leads to fatalism. Life without God leads to fatalism. For example, I'll give you a couple for instances to think about. Where you work or where you worked is in the case of our church. Where you work or where you have worked or if you work, if God doesn't matter, then that doesn't matter either. And you know, you look here in the text, look at the third verse. Solomon says, what profit hath a man of all his labor, which he taketh under the sun? Over on verse 14, he says, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, what does he say?
All is vanity.
All is vanity and vexation of spirit. Now, vexation is a frame of mind where confusion rules the day. You can't tell up from down. And you come over to chapter 2 at verse 1 to 11, and it gives a whole list of situations that Solomon is saying, it doesn't matter. For example, verse 1 in chapter 2 said, I said in my heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. He said, I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? It doesn't make any difference if you're happy or you're not. He said, I sought in my heart to give myself to wine. There's the alcohol. Yet acquainting my heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. What does it matter? I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruit. I made me pools of water to water therewith. Verse 7, I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house. What does it make any difference? Then he says in verse 8, when you get to the financial part of it, I gathered me also silver and gold, and the peculiar treasure of kings and the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers, the delights of the sons of men, especially musical instruments, and that of all sorts. So I was great. But if God, it doesn't matter, what difference does it make how great I am? Or how great Solomon was? I understand Solomon was pretty, he was fairly rich. Is that the record? He was fairly rich. Then there was a point in his life where it didn't matter. And I understand that he was pretty bright, as the standard is. God gave him great wisdom. But there was a time in his life where, from his perspective, it didn't matter. Very pessimistic. As a matter of fact, when you think about this, the work of people, down to verse number 17, chapter 2, therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me. For all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Now this is significant for this reason. Even to this day, most people identify with what they do. They identify their self-esteem, if I can go over the side on that for a minute. They identify with what they do and how well they did it. It's the whole concept of self-worth, and it's wrapped up, a person is wrapped up in their work. But if a man concludes that nothing matters, what difference does it make? What difference do I make? Does it matter that I live, or does it matter that I die? As a matter of fact, Solomon concludes, he says, you know, the wise man and the fool, the same thing happens to both guys. What does it matter if you're a fool? Or if you're a wise man, makes no difference. The degree to which you are wise and discerning, acutely contemplative, doesn't matter. Matter of fact, verse 14 and 15, he says, the wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness, and I myself perceived also that one event happeneth to them all. And what is that one event? Yeah, death is the great equalizer. It doesn't make any difference if you're a wise man while you live or you're a fool. You're going to die. Verse 15, then said I in my heart, as it happened to the fool, so it happened even to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart that this also is vanity. When you come over to chapter 2, your finances are in play. You will find that whether you have plenty or whether you're live in poverty, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Now the guy who doesn't have much would probably wish that he had more, but once he gets more, he finally realizes that it Doesn't make any difference how much I accumulate. And a guy who has it all finally realizes that even though I have it all, it can't buy me what I really, really would like. Peace in my soul. Your family, the size of your family, or if you have a family, large or small, doesn't make any difference. And even the very words that proceed out of your mouth, over in chapter 5, if you look at that, Ecclesiastes 5, verses 4 and 5. If God doesn't matter, verse 4 says, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that you shouldst not vow than that thou shouldst vow and not pay. Doesn't make any difference if you make a promise and don't keep it. If God doesn't matter, and listen, if it doesn't matter to God, if God doesn't matter at all, then it doesn't matter. Think about that in relation to the pragmatic, the practical things. Think about your marital vows. If God doesn't matter, and I say that in this way because, you know, if God doesn't matter, there's a whole treasure trove of promises that he has stated in his word that are null and void. If God doesn't matter, then everything he has promised is null and void. Your marital vows are the same way. Doesn't make any difference that you said I do and right hand up to God and the company of all of God's people and unseen angels. If God doesn't matter, doesn't make any difference if you're faithful or you're not faithful. And then you apply the same thing to the church covenant. If God doesn't matter and the promises that you made, you're not obligated to them. There's not any moral grounding if God doesn't matter. Your financial obligations the same way. If you owe, 3/4 of every paycheck to the bank for some reason, forget about it. Don't worry about paying. It doesn't matter. There's no moral grounds for integrity and honesty if God doesn't matter. And basically, when you come over to chapter 7, verse number 15, all things have I seen in the days of my vanity. There is a just man that perisheth in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man that prolongeth his life in his wickedness. So what good is it for me to live righteously? The wicked, look how he lives, and the dude's 103. But doesn't matter how you live if God doesn't matter. And so the moral of the story over in chapter 8, verse number 15 is eat, drink, and be merry. Live it up. Verse 15, then I commended mirth because a man hath no better thing under the sun than to eat, to drink, and to be merry. For that shall abide with him of his labor the days of his life which God giveth him under the sun. Live it up. So if God doesn't matter, then it doesn't matter how you and I live. It doesn't. But yet how we do live reveals to others our mindset on the issue. Life is all vanity if there is not a proper relationship to God. And when I look at in the book of Ecclesiastes, I'm seeing the words of a man who is looking at life from a secular perspective, where God is not in the equation of life's dealings. And therefore you can understand how a person would conclude and come to that degree of fatalism and pessimism. If God doesn't matter, if all he is the figment of some religious guy's imagination, and that's all that it is, and when you die, you go to the grave like a dog or a cat or a bird, it doesn't make any difference. When you die, you die. You never get up out of that grave. You're going to be there forever and ever. Then it doesn't matter how you live now. And in the Bible, the very last book of the Old Testament provides 4 chapters which serve to be a vivid illustration of this very truth, where you have in the book of Malachi a whole book devoted to religious vanity or vain religion, as we would call it. Empty, meaningless, pointless, goalless, impotent religion, because they came to a place in their lives where they thought God lied to them. They thought that they had life would be better for them when they got back into their homeland. And when 100 years passed and they were having great difficulties with droughts, and then while they never stopped being religious, they carried on their religious life as though God didn't matter. And so when that happens, they stole from them. They stole from them. When they brought offerings to the temple, any old thing would do. Didn't make any difference if, I mean, God's word doesn't matter. So then what difference does it make what kind of a sacrifice I bring? Doesn't have to be blemishless. Anything will do. Just get it done. And even those who were workers and servants for God in the temple would not engage their labor unless they were compensated for it. Now, you know, that whenever you wind up in a place like Solomon, and keep in mind, he was a bright guy, a stunningly wise. But even the wisest man on the planet, when he begins to conclude that God does not matter more or less, then we come to the end of Solomon's life and we see what kind of a life he actually concluded. Things did not end well for Solomon. And what he did was breed the same kind of moral lapse in his offspring following. And why? Because he came to a place where God didn't matter. Therefore, I will live as I wish. I will eat, drink, and be merry. Nothing else makes any difference. That's a bad place to arrive at life. Bad place. Rather, it is to be understood that God does matter. His word matters. His will matters. And we have every right to be joyful and exuberant and expectant, because Jesus said he is coming, and I believe that it will be even as he said it would be. Don't ever be like Solomon and give way to fatalistic pessimism, because when that works out in a person's life, it's not a pretty thing. Our dear Father and our God, instruct us, carry us forward, and help us, dear Heavenly Father, to always, always be looking for the Son. Help us to do that each day, and may that be the driving motivation for the life that we live for Jesus' sake and your glory. Help us in that, we ask in his name. Amen.